back in God's house this morning here at Porch Light Baptist Church. Some wonderful singing this morning. Appreciate everybody that joined in with the songs. And, of course, Christ is All I Need, always one of my favorite songs there as we typically end there and before the message. Don't forget those that are sick right now. Be praying for them that the Lord will help them through their sickness. Remember those churches that are trying to get back together and meet in their buildings today. There's some that's meeting and using social distancing and all that. Some still meeting in the parking lot. Some doing as we do online, which that's the way we typically meet. We meet in our home, so we broadcast from our live stream from our home. And any other person's home that invites us to come and have church in their home. We are a home-based church ministry, such as they had in the New Testament. And a lot of concern today about people not being able to congregate in these big buildings. That is not the design of the New Testament church at all. The New Testament church design was that they met in the homes of believers. And they went around day to day meeting in homes and breaking bread together. And they had all things in common back then. And notice today how Christians don't have all things in common. Could that be that we've separated ourselves into large buildings and sectioned ourselves off into different denominations, different groups, instead of just being followers of Christ? Perhaps. I see nothing wrong with having a building. That's fine. If the Lord ever wants us to have a building again, then we'll certainly do that. But as for now, we meet in our home. And nothing wrong with that at all. That's the closest to the biblical model of a New Testament church you're going to find anyway. But do remember these that are meeting together. My good friend, Pastor Jonathan Tharp, I believe they were meeting in the parking lot, and then I believe they're going to start meeting inside the building and spread out and different things like that. And so pray for him and his church. But we'll get into other aspects of the ministry as time allows and this coronavirus stuff gradually goes away. It seems like that's all you hear about nowadays. I was pulling up a news site today, and every article they had on the front page was about the virus in some way, whether it was bashing, you know, the president or talking about churches opening and whatever it was. Every headline had something to do about the virus. I can't wait to get back to the day where it's not just all about a virus. But anyway, that's what it is right now. And this morning, we're not preaching about a virus in that kind of way. We're talking about something else. So if you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be reading from there in just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at verses 13 through 16. And I'll preface this message by giving you a little background of how this came about. As you know, messages that God gives the man of God are given to him through revelation of reading through his word. There's also things that happen in the pastor's life that the Lord will impress upon the pastor that perhaps something from his word that needs to be touched on or preached on. So I find nothing wrong with using current events or things that's happened in our current society or even in your own private things that happen to you privately. I see nothing wrong with the Lord leading you to preach a message from his word that deals with whatever you're going through at the time. And I believe that's why God gave us his word, so that we knew what to do in situations at different times, because things change from day to day and we need to know what to do. And the same goes for being a Christian. We need to know how to conduct ourselves and live lives as Christians should live. And that has not changed since the first New Testament church. The conduct, the codes, the standards, the doctrine, the theology, all that's remained the same according to God. Now, according to man, a lot of that's changed. According to man, our present-day conduct, our way of life, our culture, our way of speaking, which is what we're speaking on today, is the subject of a Christian's conversation. But all these things change according to the culture of the time. What people do around you and the way that fads and things happen. But we're going to look at this today. And like I said, I want to preface it with kind of the reason the Lord directed me here in this way about the Christian's conversation. Over the past Well, I guess the month and a half since we've been in this quarantine, I've had a lot of opportunities to listen to different pastors online, as everyone is live streaming these days. And so I've enjoyed hearing some people that I've never heard before. And I've also caught up on some that I've listened to in the past and some I still currently listen to. I listen to a lot of different preachers and messages, and I love to hear the man of God preach from God's Word. Well, some of these have been very exciting. I've been really thankful for some of these things that I've been able to hear, but some of these I've really been disappointed in hearing some men of God, some pastors, especially here locally, using such language in their live streams that I believe is unbecoming of not only a pastor, but even a Christian. Now, I mentioned something about this on my personal social media, and I know of one person I offended over it. I won't name any names, but somebody was offended because I mentioned pastors speak using words they shouldn't be using. Well, it seems that some pastors and preachers have become very comfortable now in front of a camera, and they're no longer holding back any restraint, so they just blurt out whatever's on their mind, and really whatever you blurt out of your mouth is from your heart. And so we learn a lot about people by the way the words they say, the language they use, and that includes slang language. I'm noticing a lack of caution being used when it comes to certain words being spoken by, like I said, pastors, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, different people that represent God, that God is called to deliver His Word and to minister unto other people. Now, these things can cause problems, especially when you're trying to reach the lost. There's problems in not using the correct language or the correct words or the correct conversation. One local pastor in particular that I've known years, and he has a very large church here locally, and he used a slang word in his live stream post that was really offensive, I thought. It was a substitute curse word. And that is what most slang words are, by the way, are substitute curse words. Some people call them Christian curse words because they're not, by definition, what you would call, or the world would call, a bad word or a dirty word or profane. But when it comes to the way they're used, the way that you insert these words into your conversation, whether or not they are meant as obscenity or profanity. And this one pastor that I mentioned there, he used this word. And I was watching another pastor the very same week in a church in Middle Tennessee. He has an extremely large ministry, very great online presence. He's known worldwide online. And he used that same slang word in his live stream. Now, both of these men that did this, they were not preaching at the time, but yet they were speaking to the world about things concerning the church. And they used this particular slang word. And it was very inappropriate. And by definition, like I said, the word that these two pastors used would not be particularly considered a cursed word by the world's standards or definition. However, they used a slang word in a way which was absolutely a substitute for a curse word. Foul language. Now, I'm not here this morning to spread gossip. Everybody probably right now is wondering, who are these two pastors? We need to know. Call them out, Brother Byron. Somebody will probably say that. Call them out. Call them out by name. Yeah, well, listen, I'm not here to spread gossip, but rather I'm wanting to take the Word of God and look at what God says about our conversation as a Christian. This is not just pastors and preachers and evangelists and missionaries or teachers. I'm talking about, as a Christian, the manner in which we speak. We need to be very careful in the words that we choose when we're communicating things, especially when it comes to the things of God. We don't treat the things of God as, what's the word, flippant, I believe they say, casually. We don't want to use things that are pertaining to God casually. They're very important. And we need to take careful care and consideration in the way that we speak to people relating the Lord and the things of the Lord. So not only in a pastor's message or a Sunday school lesson or you know, but in every aspect of our life. I'm talking in your public life, in your private life, in the workplace, in the restaurant. We need to be very cautious of the words that come out of our mouth because they are being listened to by the world. And we need to make sure that we're being held to the standard that we need to be. Now, so with that thought in mind, I want us to read our opening text there in 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's see what God's Word has to say about the Christian's conversation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And here the Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Let's pray. Father, we are asking for your help this morning on this message. Lord, we find it very important. God, we want to see where you place the emphasis on how we should conduct ourselves as Christians in all manner of conversation. Lord, we know that means more than just our way of speaking. But Lord, it's our manner of life, what people see of us. And God, we're praying today that you apply our hearts here with the Word, Lord, that you'll let your Word go in and sink in, Lord, and may we listen to you. And God, see how important it is that we speak the way we should as a Christian. Help us now, Father. Keep us out of the flesh and in your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in our opening text here, the Apostle Peter, he's addressing those who have been saved. They are professed Christians. Now, we know that Peter was a preacher unto who? The Jew. He dealt a lot with Jews. However, there were many Gentiles in Peter's church. And his ministry, he dealt with a lot of Gentiles. In fact, he was the one, when Cornelius came to seek out someone, the Gentile Cornelius, Peter was the one that actually led him to Christ and those that were with him. So he did a lot of work in the church. And if anybody knew how to conduct themselves as a Christian, it should have been, cursing Peter. We all remember what Peter did, right, when he denied the Lord. And that the rooster crowed three times. And the Bible says that he cursed. "I know not the man," he said. "I don't know who you're talking about." And he cursed. Well, of all people that should be able to explain how we should speak as a Christian, it should be the Apostle Peter. You see, he's speaking to the church here. And these people, which would be us, because we're the church, we're the New Testament church, the same type Peter's talking to, we need to know how we are to use language. Now, in verse 13, he cautions them this. He says, "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober." That term, gird up. Now, in Peter's day, they wore those long flowing robes on the outside of their tunics. And they wrapped themselves usually in a clothing or a tunic. And then they had on the outside a long flowing robe. And when they had to do something, which like work or run or walk fast, get something done, they would gird up their loins. And what they did, they would take those long flowing robes, they would wrap them around their loins, and they would tie them off. They would secure them so that they wasn't flopping around in the wind when they were trying to do something. And so Peter is using that thought and that language that they clearly understood about girding themselves up. But he's not applying it to their clothing, he's applying it to their minds. That's why he says there, "Gird up the loins of your mind." In other words, it's time to get busy as a Christian. You can't just be flowing around everywhere. You need to get busy. And the way we do that is we gird up the loins of our mind. So they know what he's talking about. And not only that, but he says to be sober. What's the opposite of being sober? It's being drunk, right? To be sober means to not be drunk, to not be filled with wine, to not be filled with excess. So to be sober is the opposite of being drunk. Now, when a person is drunk, their mind is not where it needs to be. They can't think clearly. They do and say things they normally would not do if they were sober. And so Peter's cautioning the Christians. He says, your mind needs to be sober. Don't let it be drunk. Don't let it be out there doing things that it normally shouldn't be doing if you're a Christian. And so he's comparing the Christian life to that of a sober life. It's the opposite of a drunk life. He says in verse 14, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, now that you're saved, you should no longer desire to be the same that you were before you were saved. Back when you were ignorant, he said you did those things in your ignorance. You didn't know better. You didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, directing your thoughts and your mind and your actions. And so you should be doing better now. You should be doing the opposite of what you used to do back in your former, he says what, your former lusts. We all know what lusts are, those things we crave. It's an unhealthy craving that you have. He said you should no longer have those unhealthy cravings you had when you were lost, but yet you should fashion yourselves according to your new way of thinking, your new life as a Christian. Now, one of those things that we need to forsake when we become a Christian is our old way of speaking. Back before we knew better, we may have used language that the world uses. Profanity, curse words. Things that are shocking to the Christian. We may have used those before we were saved. But once we become new creatures in Christ, which is what the Bible says we become, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So we become a new creature, and it says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That was Colossians 4:6. And so this is a caution that you, as a Christian, you need to be very careful with the way you speak. It should be speech filled with grace. Now, how do we have grace? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're lost today, you most probably don't have much grace about you, because you don't know better. You're ignorant when it comes to the things of God. He says we must be seasoned with salt. We know that Christians are considered salt and light in this world of darkness and distaste. And so we are the ones to flavor the world. Not flavor it like the world would think, but the way that we should be as Christians. We shouldn't be like a dog returning to its own vomit. Now, I'm sure that you before have eaten food that has not been salted. Perhaps you sat down to a meal and you were expecting it to be just delicious. Let's use mashed potatoes. That's a good example. If you were to cook potatoes and you mash them and do all the things, but yet you leave out the salt, if you sit down and eat a bite of those potatoes, it is one terrible tasting thing. Potatoes with no salt are no good. Now, I don't care who you are, they're no good. But you add some salt to those potatoes, and suddenly they become transformed into one of the most delicious things you've ever put in your mouth. So salt brings great flavor and difference to things. That's what the Christian does. We bring a great difference to this world of distaste, this world that doesn't understand the same things that we do. And so we should season our speech, our conversation, our manner of life with salt. In other words, be that difference in people when they see you and hear you. And he says, so that you may know how that you ought to answer every man. You see, we always guard our words when we're answering somebody. If somebody comes and asks you about the Lord Jesus, or they ask you about church, something to do with the Lord, we should be ready, we should be able to answer them and answer them correctly and do it seasoned, he says, with salt. So we know how to do it. Let's go ahead and read verse 15. Verse 15, he says, but as he which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, I started out talking about these two pastors. They were using a specific slang word, and as I said, by definition, it would not be considered a curse word. If you defined it, if you looked it up in the dictionary, it certainly would not be considered profanity or a curse word. However, in the manner that they used it in, it absolutely was intended to be a substitute for a curse word. Now, if they had said this, if they'd been on their live stream, and let's say they were cooking outside on the grill, and they were cooking hamburgers, and they were live streaming, and they said, "I'm here cooking hamburgers, I'm flipping these over. I'm flipping these hamburgers over." There's nothing wrong with that. But you take that same word that they just used about the hamburger and you apply it to a conversation where you're upset or angry about something and you use that same word and insert it in place of what the world would put a curse word, but you use that word instead, that is still the same as using a curse word. It's wrong. It's wrong, and I believe it to be sinful. And there are other slang words that Christians use that ought not to be used. And I told you that a lot of times we may hear the term, that's Christian curse words. There is no such thing as a Christian curse word. All words used in the fashion or form of, in the manner they're inflected in, if they're used in the wrong way, then they become a curse word. There's no place for it, especially in a pastor's message or coming from the lips of someone that represents God and preaching His Word. And so, some words you may have grown up hearing all your life. I was the same way. Growing up, I had a lot of slang words in my vocabulary. I learned it from lots of people, my family and people outside my family, at school. And so I picked up all these slang words. I have never been one to use curse words. I'm not saying I've never done it, but I have in the past. But I've never been one for a curse word just to come off my lips or to say that. I didn't grow up in that kind of home. However, I grew up in a home where we did use slang language. And so we used these words, and I thought nothing of it. I didn't think there were anything bad with it. I've heard people use it all my life. And so these words, though, become part of my everyday manner of speaking, my conversation. Well, turns out the problem with that is it will come out at times where you don't mean for it to come out. And while you may not have thought it bad, someone listening to you can become very highly offended by what you said by using these slang words. Now, of course, when I went through Crown College there in seminary, Pastor Clarence Sexton placed a great emphasis on using the proper language when you're preaching and teaching the Word of God, to never use any type of slang words or language. If you've ever listened to him preach, you'll never hear him say anything slang at all. And he's always pushed that throughout the seminary courses. But when I early on was pastoring, and I was preaching a message one time, there was a lady there that wasn't coming to our church, and she came. And she was an older lady, and I was up there, and I got into some big tirade about something, and I used this slang word, which I'd always used, and I thought nothing of it at all. I just said it, blurted it out, kept going, didn't think a thing about it. Turns out, I highly offended this lady. She understood that word to be a substitute curse word. She said that I spoke, what was the word she used? Inappropriate. I used inappropriate language behind the pulpit. Well, when I heard that at first, and I heard what she was talking about, what word she was referring to, and my flesh immediately wanted to say, oh, she was just, oh, by the way, I left this part out. She said she would never come back to that church because of that. So, when I heard this, my immediate reaction in the flesh was to say, she was just looking for an excuse not to come to church. And so she found it, didn't she? That was my flesh. But as the Lord started dealing with me, and started dealing with my heart, and showing me the importance of what I say behind the pulpit, I become convicted of it. And so I had to start working on that. It was hard at first to try to clean up those past words that were slang that I was using so they didn't come out. a few weeks ago when I was preaching, I said something. It wasn't a bad word, slang word, but it was a phrase I used that I should not have used. And I had to go through and edit the sermon and get that out because it was just killing me. And I spent a long time trying to fix that, hoping nobody heard it before I could correct it. It wasn't bad by any means. I said something about somebody jumping in the lake. All right, and it didn't sound good. It just did not sound good. And so we need to be very careful. And so the Lord convicted me that I needed to be careful in how I speak. And so what I started doing was going through His Word and seeing what He says about it. And that's where you need to get your information. Because there's going to be some people that's going to hear this message this morning, and they're going to say something like this one lady said when I mentioned this not long ago, and she said, we need to stop being nitpicky and stop worrying about what people are saying and doing and spend and focus our time on sharing the gospel and not worry about what people are saying in their words. Well, I understand where she's coming from. I do. I understand it. However, the Lord Himself spends an enormous amount of time showing us how we are to speak and conduct ourselves as Christians. That little phrase there that Peter used, your manner of conversation, that word conversation entails much more than just your way of speaking. In fact, the word defined means your way of life. It's how you are known. It's what kind of person you are. So when Peter says, let's read it there. Verse 15. But as He which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. All manner of conversation. Well, listen, we don't have time, you know, this morning to go on all of the facets of that word and what it means, our conduct and our way of acting and everything. But we're looking specifically at the Christian's conversation. And that is part of this. Our speech, our words we use, our language. Now, this doesn't mean just when we're talking at church or a religious setting. It means everywhere. I've already said it. I'm talking at the restaurant, the grocery store, Walmart, at the workplace. Wherever you may be, what comes out of your mouth needs to be guarded. Look at verse 16 back in our opening text in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. This is the reason, by the way, of why we're to do this. The Lord says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, that is our reason for wanting our conversation to be how it should be, how God says it should be. It's not because we think it ought to sound better. It's not because so-and-so may get offended that we shouldn't speak that way. It's not because, well, I wasn't raised that way, so I'm going to speak that way. It's not because, well, I was raised using this kind of language, so I don't see anything wrong. It's not because of any of that. It's because we want to be representatives, we are representatives, of God. And He Himself says, it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That word holy, we know what that means. It means physically pure, ceremonial cleansed, consecrated, blameless is what that word means. So when it comes to our language, we should be blameless, pure, holy, because God says He is holy. And so you notice what Peter said? He says, be ye, well, God says it, but Peter writes it. He says, be ye holy. Be ye. So, in other words, if you're having to be, then you must put forth effort in it. It may not come easily. It may not be natural. I've told this story before, but there was a young man who began preaching. He was up in, I believe it was in Granger County. And he got up and started preaching about Daniel in the lion's den. And he was going on and on, talking about Daniel. Got all carried away and everything. And he used an actual curse word. He said Daniel didn't, and he used a profanity, and kept right on preaching. Didn't even realize he'd done it. Well, he'd grown up using this certain word, and he never even thought about it until somebody pulled him aside after the message and explained to him the better way. So it's something that you may have to put a conscious effort into to guard how you speak and what you say. But it's our motivation Our motivation comes from our view of God. If your view of God is high and holy and exalted and lifted up, then you will desire to want to have the type of language that is holy language, the type of language that would represent the Lord. If you remember back in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, Isaiah is standing there, and he's in the temple, and he sees God, high, holy, and lifted up. And listen to what he said. He said, "Woe is me." Listen to what he said. He said, "I am undone." That word undone means destroyed. "Because I am a man of unclean lips." Unclean lips. That means profane lips. I'm a man of profane, unclean lips. "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Listen, we dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. One turn of on the television and you're going to be bombarded by people with unclean lips. Go out in public, you're going to hear it. Go to the workplace, you're going to hear it. Turn on the radio, you're going to hear it. We live in that kind of place that Isaiah is talking about. And he says, listen, I'm a man of unclean lips. He realized how high and holy God was and how low and miserable he was. And he said, "I've been completely undone. I've unraveled in his holy presence." Because he says what? "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." If you could ever see God in the way that you need to see God, you would realize how important it is of how we conduct ourselves in all manner of conversation. We're talking about a Christian's conversation today. Well, like I said, some people get offended and defensive whenever you speak out against it. And they may say, "Well, you're dwelling on that too much." There'll be people today that'll maybe hear this and look at it and say, "Oh, he needs to just get over himself. Who's he think he is? All holy and high, mighty, and all this stuff. Who's he, a holy roller? You know, does he think he's better, self righteous, and all this?" And there'll be people like that because they don't want to change their ways. They don't want to get in line with Scripture. They don't want to see what God says about our manner of conversation, our way of speaking, our conduct. They want to dwell on other things. And so they'll use things like, "Well, you need to quit worrying about these little matters and share the gospel." You know, that's the most important. And it is the most important thing. But why would the Lord spend an abundant amount of time in His Word telling us and cautioning us about how we're to conduct our lives as a Christian? Because it's very important. Now, as a pastor, I am charged with preaching the full counsel of God. In fact, when I was ordained, that was one of the things that I was charged with. They read the charge, and they say, "You're to preach the Word in season, out of season. Rebuke," all these things that I was to be charged with. And I agreed with that. If there ever come a day when I decided, listen, that's just too hard, or people don't like that, I'm not going to preach on that subject anymore, I'm just going to preach about the gospel, or I'm going to preach about love and things like that, that's the day I need to resign. Give up my ordination papers and never preach again. Because we must preach the full counsel of God. And this is part of it. Not very long ago, when I was at our former church, there was this young preacher that was looking for preaching appointments. And he put out this big message. "You know, if you need somebody to come preach, please contact me. I'll go anywhere, preach anywhere," and all this stuff. And so I was looking into him to consider him, whether or not I would allow him to come and preach in our pulpit. Well, the first thing, all you have to do today is just go on a person's social media accounts and go to Twitter and Facebook, find out everything about him. So that's immediately what I did. I went to his personal Facebook page to find out more information about him. I thought perhaps he had some preaching videos or something I could look at. Everything that I saw was so filled with the world. Everything that came out of his mouth was horrible. I mean, he was just using foul language, using slang terms, and belligerent, and all this conversation. And I said, "That man will never, ever come and preach at a pulpit where I am pastor at." Well, we just can't have that in God's house. There's no place for it. And so he may have been a great preacher. I don't know. I highly doubt it, having that kind of language. "Don't judge him, Brother Pine. You don't know him." Listen, you know them by their fruits, the Bible says. Well, just as you wouldn't want your preacher, your pastor, to use any kind of language like that, what about us as a Christian? What are we to do? I mean, is it okay for the non-pastor, the non-preacher, to use such language? Well, I don't think so. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. There in Philippians 1 and verse 27, it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, Paul is speaking to members of the church there. This is not just anybody. This is members of the church. And so it's important that we understand that. So Paul's speaking here to members of the church at Philippi, and he tells them to let their conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, if it doesn't glorify the Lord, then don't say it. You certainly can't say that when you use slang terms. You're not glorifying God when you use these certain slang terms. And so, I mentioned this one time before. Back in 2014, there was this young Hollywood actor. Some of y'all know who he is. His name, I believe, is Shia LaBeouf. Is that how you say his name? I think that's how you say his name. S-H-I-A-L-A-B-E-O-U-F. Shia LaBeouf. Anyway, he starred in these Transformer movies, which most people knew him from. Back in 2014, he was filming a film with another actor named Brad Pitt. The movie was called Fury. Well, in this movie, this young man was playing the part of a Christian. And so he made a public profession of faith to the world, saying that he had become a Christian. And so the world was celebrating. You know, because this guy was a rough liver. I mean, he lived a rough life. Used lots of bad language. Did a lot of bad things in his life. And so a lot of people were just, you know, shouting, praising, you know, thanking, you know, oh, it's wonderful. You know, look at his life now. He's a Christian. This is his public statement of when he got saved. He says, or when he says he got saved. He said, "I became a Christian man, and not in a blankety, bull blankety way, in a very real way. I could have just said the prayers and were on the page, but it was a real thing that really saved me, and you can't identify unless you're really going through it." Well, like I said, I mentioned this before in a message back when it happened in 2014, and at the time I said, I really question whether or not this young man understands what it means to be saved. Well, there were some people that attacked me over it. They said, "Oh, Brother Byron, you're judging him. He's a new Christian. You can't judge him the same way you would a person who's been a Christian a long time. You need to sit back and wait and see how his life changes. You know, don't say anything about him. That's just, you know, un-Christian of you." Well, in 2017, which was, what, 2-3 years later, he was arrested in Savannah, Georgia, for drunk and disorderly after he went on a tirade of cursing and screaming in a restaurant full of women and children. And he did this because someone refused to give him a cigarette. Then in 2018, the next year after that, he declared, I think it was on the Christian Post, that he was no longer a believer in God, that he was playing a part in that movie. And recently, after he got arrested, he thanked that officer for arresting him, saying he changed his life. His life's not changed. His life's no different. He's still a drunken, profanity-laced person. He's not changed. So, you know, say what you want. You can call me somebody judging someone, but you judge them by their fruit. You know them by their fruit. And he's not producing any kind of fruit. James chapter 3, verse 10 says, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Well, here the Bible is certainly comparing the Christian life with that of a fountain. The same fountain cannot yield both salt water and fresh water at the same time. It's physically impossible. And so what makes people think that a Christian is able to do that? Well, you know, Christians still speak, you know, the way they want to. He was raised speaking that way. There's nothing really wrong with it. You can go right ahead. Well, according to the Bible, that is not the truth. So how do we expect to win others to Christ if we can't clean up our own lives, clean up and have our own manner of conversation that is fitting of a Christian? Look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Paul cautions the church here. He says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And so our conversation, supposed to edify and minister grace, the Bible says, to those that hear us. A Christian using slang or vulgar language, words that ought not to be used by a Christian, those things are not edifying or ministering grace to anybody. In fact, it detracts from the things of God. You're actually causing harm to the cause of Christ when you speak that way. And so not only is it not edifying minister, but it leads to more ungodliness, the Bible says. 2 Timothy 2 and 16. The Bible says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." So here we see the Bible says that using vulgar and language such as this, vain babblings, profane, that these things are ungodly. And if you do this, continue to do this, it leads to more ungodliness. And so while at first it may just be your language, it may affect other parts of your life, your behavior. Excuse me. And the worst thing is your way of thinking. If you allow your thinking to change, fundamentally change the way that you know and believe into something else accepting of such things, that's where the real damage happens. But lastly, turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26. Now, James is the old punch in the gut guy. Every time you read James, it's like he's punched you in the gut. And this is no different. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Now that's kind of scary. Because there's a lot of people that seem very religious, but according to their tongue, it's not so. So what do we do? If you have a problem with the way you speak, and the language you use, the words that you use, they're not edifying, they're showing the grace of God, what can we do? Well, don't get man's opinion about it. See what God says about it. God says this in Psalm 35 and 28. "And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." You see, if you keep the things of God on the tip of your tongue, in the back of your mind, in your thoughts every day, then this will not be a problem with the way you speak. You see, if you put bad things in, you're going to put bad things back out. You bring good things in, good things come out. And so, what does the Bible say about what comes out of man, what he speaketh? Comes from his heart. So if your heart's where it needs to be, then your tongue should be edifying Christ. Psalm 119, 171 says, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." And so it boils down to really one fact. How do you see God? Do you see him as high and holy and lifted up? You see him, as Isaiah said, "There's his train filled the temple, and he become undone because he's a man of unclean lips." Do you see God in that way? Because if you don't, then you're going to find that the way you behave as a Christian is going to reflect that. You won't care how you speak. You won't care about the language you use. You think people like Brother Byron preaching against speaking slang language and vulgar words is an old fuddy-duddy. He's out of touch. He's lost out of reality. He's behind the times. He's not culturally prevalent or whatever it is. You know, he's preaching that old stuff. Look, if you don't see God lifted up and exalted the way he should be, then you're not going to agree with this message. But now if you see God the way he needs to be seen, the way he declares to be seen in his word, then you're going to be convicted in your heart that what you're doing, what you're saying, your manner of conversation, your way of life, if it's not pleasing to the Lord, then it's no good. We need to have that vision of God the way we need to have it. So a Christian's conversation, should it be filled with vulgarities and profane language and slang words and terms that could be offensive to others, that could cause damage to the cause of Christ, because it's not edifying, it's not full of grace? No. Christians shouldn't be that way. Pastors, preachers, evangelists, deacons, Sunday school teachers, lay members, everyone that says they're a Christian will have these conversations guarded, the speech guarded, seasoned with salt, edifying to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message. I pray, Lord, it's been helpful. Lord, I thank you for convicting me of this. Lord, I pray that we do better. I pray, Lord, for those men that has not yet been convicted of this, Lord, if you'll show them the need. For our conversations, our speech, everything that we speak, God, as a Christian, it needs to be lined up with your word. We need to see you, Lord, the way that you are. High and holy, exalted, lifted up. Help us with it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.